Everybody, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. I have an exciting guest today. I have Kim Kelly Thompson today, and we're going to be talking about self-love. Before we dive deep with Kim Kelly Thompson, who is a business development coach with an emphasis on personal development, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com. Your online store for creative, high-quality activewear leggings, crystals, 100% natural facial masks, natural bath soaps, candles, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Use code podcast25 to get 25% off all activewear leggings. All right, so Kim, I'm excited. Usually we run a clubhouse room together on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on topics like this. You know, our clubhouse room is called Mind Shift for Life Shift, which is the club. And so now we're doing this podcast and we're going to be talking about self-love. And we always talk about like all these different topics around self-improvement. But, you know, I think the foundation really is self-love. If you don't have that self-love, you know, everything else that you build on, like self-confidence, self-respect, success, whether it's personal success or professional success, you know, you're going to sabotage it in covert ways. So Kim, you know, I know you've run a personal development company before in the past. You have a lot of experience in personal development, of course. You know, you've built businesses, successful businesses. So talk to us about your journey around why it's so important to develop self-love, how you can develop self-love and the benefits of it and stuff like that.
That great question. And I think you're absolutely right. And we've talked about this before in our clubhouse room, and that everything really does come back to that love of self and understanding who you truly are. And I think a big part of it is having respect for self before you can really go out and do the things that you like maybe say you want to do or the goals that maybe you set for yourself. Because part of the reason what I have found in my own journey and in working with others is that oftentimes we say we want something, but the reason why we don't really get to that point or we fall short of some of those things is that we hold our own selves back. Or we're going after it for the wrong reasons. And so, you know, we always hear people saying so often, especially in, what has it been in the last few years that you hear it more and more people always talking about your why and connecting to the why and why, what's that, you know, how can that's so important? And it's because when you don't, and you don't have an emotional connection, you don't go deep enough to figure out why, not just why do I want this and what can this do for maybe my family or what can it bring for me? You know, if you say, oh, I want to have the beach house because it's a great gathering place for my family or whatever. But, you know, sometimes there's things that you, little nuances that we don't realize that are within our own psyche because it's a habit or it's a pattern or it's a belief that's been formed, usually based on what we've grown up with, right? What we've witnessed. And a lot of times we don't realize that right off the bat. Maybe it takes a little bit of, you know, soul searching in order to tap into that. But I learned this so long ago as you said, I was very much involved in personal development. I owned a franchise in personal development industry and I had some fantastic mentors. And one of my very first mentors was actually Zig Ziglar. Years ago. And I met him as a motivational speaker. And then when I was in sales and doing sales trainings, and he was, just fantastic. But working with him and listening to him and how he approached things in life was just very much from an understanding of who he really was at his core being and what his core values were. And he never wavered from that. It was never like trying to adapt into what somebody else's viewpoint was or trying to, you know, kind of do something based on a condition in a sense. Like you're not doing things out of wanting something to fill a void. So for example, in my own journey, I realized that I had a really hard time saying no to things. I was taking on so many projects and I didn't have clear boundaries. And that is just a sign of not respecting myself enough, not loving myself enough, because I was kind of looking for, well, what? That's what I had to ask myself. My gosh, why am I taking on all these projects? Like, what am I thinking this is doing? And for me, it was like, oh, am I looking for validation? Is it tied to my worth somehow? And I had to really take a long, hard look at that, because even though I might be really good at certain projects, my mental bandwidth, even my physical bandwidth was like, I can't continue to do this because it's taking me away from not only my own self and what I believe to be, you know, what I want for my own self, as far as maybe some peace and even just starting my day a certain way, but even my own family. And I was just doing so many other projects. And I realized that no matter what I did to say, okay, you're going to set boundaries, Kim, and you're going to say no, and you're going to kind of follow this pattern, and you're going to forge, you know how we say 21 days, you can create this new path, and you can. Absolutely. I mean, you and I both have NLP backgrounds, right? So we understand forging that new path and then changing kind of those neurotransmitters and brain priming. But what I had to realize was that this was something that I witnessed with my mom. And my mom really thought that, and I, you know, partly her upbringing, partly her religious beliefs, was that it was almost like the more deeds you did, it was almost like you were depositing more into your bank account. It was like, oh, okay, if you do this and this and this and this, then you'll be seen as a valuable person. You'll be seen, your self-worth will go up, right? Be boosted. And our self-worth has nothing to do with anything outside there or how many tasks we take on or projects we do for other people. Our worth is innate, and it's something that we were blessed with the day we were born, the day we came into this world. And I didn't realize that. Like, it took me a long time to realize. I didn't see it, but I was doing all these other things, and I had to sit back and go, oh my gosh, like, I just, you know, am not totally present and here for my kids because I'm so focused on what I'm trying to get done for whatever it may be outside, you know? And I had to really step back and look at that and go, okay, is this something that I learned from who, where? Was it my mentors? Do they do this? No. And I had to go deep and look at that, because no matter how many times I would set certain goals, I would be like, oh, and then I would take something else on. And so I was kind of self-sabotaging I was derailing my own efforts. So it was not only pushing my goals further out there, but I wasn't being present to the things and the people that really mattered to me. So I had to really take a good look at that. And that all came back to what? Self-love, self-respect.
Yeah.
Like you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's different ways sometimes of looking at it too. And I think it just depends on, you know, from what I'm hearing is that, you know, you were a mom, like you're probably wanting your primary job maybe at the time was being a mom. But you still held on to that. You had that belief that your self-worth is derived from doing things and accomplishing things from your mother. You had that programming as you were also simultaneously, you know, having a strong value of being a good mom. So you're trying to do two things at once, but at the same time, you're constantly feeding into your self-worth by that programming of actually doing external activities, projects outside of the home. So you weren't programmed, like not recognizing that, you know, doing your mom duties, you know, being a good mom is also tied into, you know, like, you know, you can be proud of that as well. You don't have to just be right. Proud of your professional developments. So because I think too that, you know, of course we do develop our self-esteem from doing things. Like when we're kids, we get good marks in school, we feel, you know, I think that's a natural thing. But we have to pay attention to, letting our ego kind of hide, like letting our ego override us type of thing. Yeah. And, you know, if we do have kids, like looking at our actual life and seeing, okay, what are we neglecting here that, you know, we also value type of thing. So it depends on your, like your actual, like you as a person, like your lifestyle. And, you know, if you have children and they're young and you want, and you value being a mom and, you know, you love your kids, you know, to not neglect that as well. So yeah, I think, you know, we have to, absolutely, we have to just increase our awareness of our programming. And
I think that's key. I think increasing, you hit it right, the nail on the head right there, because I think the more you're aware and you notice what these triggers are, and you notice them, you can notice them, you know, in your body too, right? And you can tell when something's really kind of just hitting you and saying, okay, this is really affecting me. What's really going on here? Like, you know, there's times where I can find myself going, oh, I'm feeling a little stressed. My shoulders are up to my ears. Like, what's going on? You know, and paying attention almost to the body cues. But I don't think, as you know, it's funny because early on, I have a really strong intuition. I had chronic ear infections when I was a child. And so I went inside a lot, you know. It was like, cause like I wasn't, you know, I was in so much pain. I'd be like, oh, we'd be going somewhere. And that was my way of kind of dealing with it. I would just like really get into my imagination and just kind of listen to my cues internally. And okay, this, if I do this, this feels better, whatever it may be. Right. If you look at that, you know, you can always look at the metaphysical reasons for that. What's going on? And are you shutting things out? And are you tuning into your intuition? Well, I was too young at the time to understand. What is it? What do chronic ear infections, you know, signify metaphysically? But for me at that age, I just knew, okay, I couldn't go out and play with everybody or be with everybody. So I kind of created my own imaginary world and got really into understanding, you know, my own cues and listening to myself and hearing my intuition and that inner voice speak. And then somewhere along the way, I gave that up. And I so clearly remember doing this because even though I would know things, I mean, I think we all have a portion of this, you know, where we get a feeling or we know something before anybody else knows it or before it's actually happened. And that happened to me on multiple occasions where I can remember seeing a friend. We were at Old Faithful waiting for the geyser to go off. And I turn and I go, Dad, that's your friend from college. Well, how would I have known his friend from college? I was the youngest of three kids. He hadn't seen him since he was like 19. And now he's married with three kids. But, you know, like little things like that kept happening to me. And I remember sharing something with a couple of people and they just shut it down. Like, what do you think? You're psychic. How do you know that? Blah, blah, blah. And I was so like, oh my God, who am I to tell people this? Like this, you know, years ago before more and more people were like open to this stuff, right? But I'd be like, oh, what, I shouldn't be saying that. Like, oh, it's like I retreat it, you know? And so I shut that voice down for a long time. And even though I would hear and know things, I shut down that. I shut down the awareness of self. I wasn't paying attention to the little cues and the triggers that were going on. And when you do that, that is such incredible. I think it's such incredible disrespect to our own self, to our maker, because that's, you know, that's the gift of life is a gift, right? And the gift of loving yourself, I mean, being able to truly trust your own self and your own instincts and your own inner wisdom is hugely important to the development of self and to a healthy individual. And how could I, like, I had to look at it and say, oh, why am I, because I would see these things in my kids, like very empathic, very intuitive. And I thought, oh my gosh, I would never tell them to shut those gifts down. If you're very empathic, that's a great gift. You know, if you're, you know, intuitive, that's an incredible gift. So I would encourage more of that. And it got me to start looking at, wow, why did I shut that down in myself? And why was I so willing to let that go and allow other people tell me what I could or could not do? And that was a journey. That was a lesson, eye-opening lesson for me, but it was a part of, I guess, you know, it's part of, we're all on a journey, right? It was part of my journey to kind of open my eyes to never again, don't look outside yourself for all this validation and your value in life, because that's not where it comes from, truth be told, right? Just show up as authentically as you are, who you are. And it took me a long time to kind of to get that message and to go, oh, I'm okay how I am, right? And just show up by being true to myself and being aware of who I really was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's totally, totally true. And even if you were to, even if I were to look at the example too of the kid that perhaps the kid that didn't get, you know, good grades in school, that's also an external thing. It's, you know, when you look at the structure of school, the way it's designed, they're marking you based on a certain criteria set that they have set. And not everybody excels within that structure. If you were to look at some of the brightest minds, I think it was mm-hmm. Beethoven, Walt Disney even too, they didn't do well in school. You know, we have other icons have actually dropped out of college and such, that, you know, I believe it was Steve Jobs. He dropped out of college, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of, icons that, you know, they just didn't do well within a certain structure, but yeah. they found their genius. You know, they listened what their genius was and tapped into that and accelerated, right? So because
they trusted themselves. That's what's it, you know, good for them to realize I'm not thriving in this structure. It's not for me. And being able to say, not for me, I need something new, or it doesn't work for me. And then tapping into their zone of genius, because, you know, you have to have some confidence to be able to do that and go out and say, doesn't work for me. This is what I'm doing instead. So yeah, good for them for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was Walt Disney, you know, he was told in school, like he had no imagination. There's been so many stories of these icons that literally mm-hmm. have changed our world with their genius, their vision, that were told by teachers and such, you know, you're not going to amount anything, or, you know, whatever. Even if you look at all of the, I mean, even Oprah, you know, I think she was fired as a news anchor. Just so many.
You know, and that's such a good point, because how dare we look to somebody else to tell us what we can and cannot do, or what we're really good at? And I understand, especially as kids growing up and such, and especially as a mom of four, you know, kids, a lot of times you'll look to say, gosh, you know, you're trying to figure things out and you're trying on new hats and trying to figure out what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Some people know, you know, instinctively, intuitively, exactly from a young age, what they want to do and what they're meant to do in this world, right? And some of us, I do believe a lot of us know, but I know for myself, I knew what I enjoyed doing the most and what I really loved doing and where I found my passion, but I kept holding back and just afraid to, again, show up like authentically. And it took me a while to step into that, but one of the things that I did always teach my kids is that you have the right, as a human being, you have the right to question authority respectfully, absolutely respectfully, but you have the right, because whomever your teacher is, that teacher doesn't really know you and what you're truly capable of and what's going on in your mind, because everybody has, you know, sometimes depending on small their environment and how much they can get involved with their children, their, you know, classroom and such. But, you know, it's just, I, like you said, there's so many times kids don't thrive in school because maybe they're not meant for that structure. And if you have a teacher that doesn't see that, they can easily shut down somebody very quickly and make them fold and not, you know, lose that confidence, not believe in themselves and all of that kind of stuff. And so I think a lot of times you have to look at that and say, wow, where did this really come from? Like for me, again, with my family of origin, seeing my mom and the struggles she went through and how she looked towards others for her validation and that self-worth and, you know, how many projects can I take on? That makes me a better person type thing. And that can come from your teachers too. You know, there's so many different places it can come from, but I do think it's important to recognize, okay, what are the triggers and why am I doing this? And why maybe I'm, you know, what what might not be working here? And how is this showing up maybe in my body? Or what am I doing on a daily basis that I can say, I noticed that at this time I feel like this, right? Because it's that awareness, it's paying attention to those triggers. But like you said, if you are aware and you know yourself, then you can say, this isn't working for me. Time for me to move over to here. But that takes a self-awareness, and it takes the confidence and clarity to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And I mean, that is what the true power lies to really thrive in anything we want to do in life, is getting to really, really, truly know ourselves. And even with, you know, the example of you as a kid, you know, you had psychic ability, and you're saying at that time in our culture or within your certain social circle, that was not acceptable or viewed as an actual thing. But look at where we are now in society. Like, we're totally much more aware of, you know, intuition, and some people have strengthened their intuition, and, you know, they do possess that psychic ability. Some people are born naturally with it. Like, you know, you've experienced yourself. And some people, they just, like a muscle, they just train themselves to train their intuition to strengthen it more. But just goes to show, like, you know, we can't, you know, whatever is going on in our society, the trends, you know, we can't always acquiesce to what it is, or, you know, and neglect our truth, thinking that whatever is the societal trend or the societal culture of the time to be truth. Or we see this all the time too. And, you know, people that are just embarking on their entrepreneurial journey, and they want to be a business owner or an entrepreneur, and they just go through shiny object syndrome of whatever, you know, fancy, shiny training. I think we're actually speaking about this earlier, of how, you know, thousands and thousands of people end up buying all these programs. I'm going to do this type of business, or I'm going to purchase this program, that, and they suck all their time into this like learning mode, or just adapting to this, you know, shiny object syndrome. I'm like, I don't even know what the new hot business is out there that everyone's like trying to teach everyone to become. Maybe it's an affiliate marketer or whatever it is. But the thing is, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what your true passions or desires are, or what your strengths are or values, you're not truly going to be hitting that true threshold of success, because you're not tapping into your genius. So yeah. I think every successful entrepreneur icon knows the power of that, because they truly know themselves in order to actually achieve that icon status, because they know what their natural zone of genius is based on what they've always naturally been curious about when they were growing up. Like, you know, they know what activates them, because they know themselves.
100%, because they know themselves. That's it. They know themselves and they trust themselves. And so that's why personal development and business development run parallel to each other. They go side by side. They just do, because you can't, well, I mean, you know this yourself, when you become an entrepreneur and you say, I am like this, you're the CEO of yourself too, right? It's like, you have to lead yourself. And in order to become an entrepreneur, you're stepping into a different way of being, because most of us, you know, have, well, societal structure, right? So, you know, you have school, and then you have preschool, kindergarten, whatever, elementary school, high school. Then if you go to college, right? And then some people go on to a trade school, and some people just, now you've graduated college, and then, now we go to work, and work traditionally is a 9-to-5, and then you're in another structure. And so oftentimes, you know, people come out of that and they go, the first thing, because I work with a lot of new entrepreneurs, and the first thing is like, oh my gosh, it's like the shackles are off and I can do whatever I want. And then they flounder. That's what, like you say, it's shiny objects on, it's like, oh, I can go anywhere because everything looks like I could do this and this, because it's almost like a kid in a candy shop. You know, it's like, you've had so much structure and it's like, oh, the blinders are off, I can do whatever. And then you're like, oh, but if you don't take the time to really know your zone of genius and what makes you happy, what you're really good at, then it's so easy to get lost. And that's when people get caught up in, and you just alluded to it, it's like learning and learning. They get into this learning, but what I call the learning, but not earning mode, because all you're doing is and it's easy to say, oh, I had a really productive day. I've been really busy. And because you're taking course and research, but you have to get into the money-making activities too. And that comes from, okay, who am I? What do I really enjoy doing? What am I really good at? What, you know, how can I help be of service? It's always, what can I do be of service to others? And when you come from that, obviously that perspective, that's where things start to change and things start to happen. But we're always going to have, you know, learning. We're always going to want to go and learn more, but you still have to be earning money as well if you're going to have a business, a sustainable business. And I think it's really easy to get so caught up in, I mean, I've bought so many courses that I've never even opened, like never even logged in. It was like, oh my God, that sounds great. I think I need it, because I was in a place where initially I was like, oh, I'm going to do this, but wow, that looks really good. But I could do that too, you know, because it's like that you want, there's so many things you want to do, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you can be a multifaceted entrepreneur and have many different passions, but you have to start with one first. You just start with one first, grow that. And it's like the, you know, we always talk about know your niche, right? You have to start small and you grow out from there. So you can have multiple businesses, but you don't just jump in and go, I'm going to buy 10 businesses right now and I'm going to run them all. Can't possibly do that. Starting with one first.
Yeah. I see a lot of newbies say, oh, you know, I'm a real estate agent. I'm a mortgage broker. I fix credit. I do this. I mean like five, but they're not successful at one. So they're, because they haven't mastered the one yet. They haven't stuck to one. Like, so yeah, we do see some people that are super successful that do have multiple businesses, but they started with one that was their zone of genius. And then they branched out into complementary businesses branching from that one. So it was like, you know, like kind of like they're related. They're not completely like completely different industries, or, you know, the related industry to support each other, that they've learned naturally by mastering that one business. Of course, you're going to, you know, learn more about the complementary businesses, you know, like real estate, of course, mortgage, you know, is related to that. Mm-hmm. You know? So, investor.
And even if it's in your zone of, well, if it's, even if you have a, you know, you want to leave what you're doing because you really have a passion to do something else, a lot of times people will start with what is, like you said, their zone of genius. What are they really good at? What do they know already? Because that's the low hanging fruit. That's like a great introductory into entrepreneurship, because if that's your low hanging fruit, like, in other words, when I started, I knew I wanted to do more of my writing and coaching, because I had the personal development business and the sales training, but I was doing at the time events because I had gone back to work after divorce and I was doing corporate events. And I loved it because it was sales, but I also got to write all of the information in for blogs to get, you know, meeting planners out here. But I was like, how am I going to start building the coaching thing and at the same time do this? And I started with an online magazine for the hospitality industry, which quickly led into the content development. And then that from there led to the production company. But I use my production company, yes, for specific red carpet media events, because I know that industry so well. Got a full team running that. But it allowed me to branch into producing the summits that I produce, because I already have the production company and the knowledge of that. So how can I produce the summits and still use that? You know, so like, it's like you're saying, they complement each other. The passion was with the coaching and the personal development and the business development, because I built the businesses, right? But it's now I'm using that as a tool over here. But you can't just jump out and go, oh, I'm going to blah, 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 which is where it's so easy to just kind of sit in that comparison. And that it's really the compare and despair mode, right? Haven't you seen that with people? It's like, but they're doing this and I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, and I think when you face, it's the shiny object syndrome. And I think too, it's like, if they haven't mastered one, so they feel like they can make, you know, perhaps money in this, and then putting their hands in different areas so they can, you know, have, you know, maybe the whole recurring, you know, different income streams or whatever. But right. I think the key is master one first, and, you know, then you can add to your repertoire of other businesses, because then you have that one that's mastered where you can actually have people help you manage it and be more of an, you know, overseer, and, you know, it's, and then you can easily pivot and add new structures to your business or different business entities.
That- well, it gives you more credibility too, because you've got the success there, confidence in your own self and your own abilities, but the credibility with others as well, because, oh, I can see that you already know what you're doing. You've already done this.
Yeah. And it starts with getting, and again, it goes back all getting to know yourself, because when you truly master yourself and your, because you can master your emotions more. Also too, you get to actually reveal all of those little subtle traumas that we have that can affect our self-esteem or self-worth. Because on, okay. So like if you, people who have not done any personal development work and they just jump into, like, entrepreneurship is like the, you're going to quickly figure out that you're, if you don't do the work, and if you do have any type of, you know, I'm going to call them covert traumas, because not a lot of people are aware they even have generalized anxiety disorder. A lot of people are not aware that they even have self-esteem issues, right? And if you're going to jump into being a business owner, if you do possess those, whatever you want to label it as, let's just say traumas, covert traumas or mild traumas, they're going to quickly come to the surface, not very, you know, not in your face, but like subtly you're going to sabotage your business through, maybe you won't jump onto opportunities as fast, or maybe you might push them away by being, you know, either procrastinating or just doing little things, right? Because you're kind of self-sabotaging. And that is one of the first things you're going to, if you, you know, if you do possess something that you have to work on, you know, any type of, I'm going to just label it as mini or minor traumas that have affected your self-esteem or self-worth, right? So, you know, and then eventually you're going to figure out, oh, I got to do personal development work, right? Because it's my psyche is not allowing me to thrive because I'm not making the best decisions, or I'm not making any decisions at all. You might be, you know, stuck in paralysis or overwhelm or procrastinate. I mean, there's a million ways to do something, or maybe taking on too much, right? And these are all things that, you know, do involve getting to know yourself. And gonna say, you know, it's definitely a journey, and it's definitely something that you really do have to commit time to, you know, because like you said, we go through schooling, we jump into work, we are so conditioned to go do, and we, you know, since we were what, 5 years old, we get up at 9, clock out at 3 p.m. since we were like 4 years old. So we're,
you know, but it is, it's that structure. And that's like the thing that, oh, that's the thing that entrepreneurs want to ditch. This is what I see when people come and work with me. It's like, I want to get up on my own. I want to get up. I want to have my coffee. I want to journal. I get it. And I'm all for that. Like, I absolutely believe, yes, you should be able to do that, because I know you want to create your own schedule. But the thing that we want to get rid of the most is the thing that we need the most. And that's that structure in our businesses that are, that's going to allow us to build a scalable business and a sustainable business. And it's kind of, it's just the irony of it. And it's, it doesn't have to be though, this heavy feeling, because you get to create that structure for yourself. Like, I don't work after 12 noon on Fridays. It's like, I choose not to. That's like a 12 or one. Sometimes I'll push it to one, you know, if I've had a later start in the morning, but I don't want to work after that because I've just decided that doesn't work in my schedule. You know, there's other things I want to do, or I'm going to take off and hike or whatever it may be, but I get to create that. And if I'm going to use that as my plan, then I have to, okay, well, what am I going to do? I have to be really on point and intentional with everything else that I'm doing during the week, so that I don't get there and go, oh my gosh, I haven't finished this. I have to get this done. I'm gonna have to do some stuff tomorrow. You know, if I don't wanna do that, then I just have to really create that structure for my own self. But if you think about like, everything in this world works on systems and structures. Like a restaurant can't, they can't serve food if they don't know what to order. They can't order properly if they don't know how many people typically order X, Y, and Z. You know, like they have to have a blueprint for that. And that comes from, of course, doing. So it's kind of like you have to trial and error. You have to figure it out. You have to put it out there and kind of go from that. But everything works on that. And so as an entrepreneur, you still have to do that too. But you get, the good thing is that you get to create that structure. And I think the faster that you can create your vision and connect to that vision, and it, I see this a lot with new entrepreneurs. They don't really know what they want their business to be. They have a loose idea. So I always tell people, forget the business vision, get in touch with your life vision. What do you want your life to look like? Because from there, when you can really figure out, this is what I want my life to look like, then you can, your business, you can start building the business vision to kind of support that style, right? That's kind of going to give you the framework for that. Because if you to sit there and say, well, I only want to work, you know, I want to work from my laptop, but I only want to work X amount of hours. Then we have to go, okay, if that's what you're going to do, how much money do you need to be able to support that? Right. So it kind of all comes into play, but looking at the big picture vision first, and then kind of dialing it back from there. And then once you connect to that, you can start, okay, this is how I'm going to get myself there. But you're right. It's like, oh, we've had so many structures all life. We'd kind of just like, oh, I don't want that structure anymore. And yet that's the irony. That's the thing that's going to help you to build a business.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely need structure. No, I just meant when I was referring to that, you know, like there's a certain program that we are, you know, like we go to, like, for example, we go to school, we wake up, we have math class at 9:00. Then we have English class at 11:00. Then there's, you know, I don't know, whatever other classes that we have. And then we get home, and then mom has certain, you know, dinner by 5:00 because dad's coming home at 5:00. You know, we're just so used to living in that conscious mind of do, to-do lists, time, do that, you know, that we don't really have the time or perhaps even mental energy to really, or we weren't even, not even trained either or taught to even like ask ourselves questions, or why am I behaving this way? Why am I doing that? You know, because we're so like kind of, you know, a lot of people like to say the term robots, right? We're just like, wake up there, do this, do that, right? And it's difficult to, plus it's not mainstream culture. Like, we don't watch movies and we don't see the main characters, you know, asking themselves questions. I wonder why I'm doing this. You know, no, we see drama, and we see rom-coms, and, you know, we see, you know, the typical things that we see in Hollywood movies or in Hollywood TV programs of like drama and just, you know, romance stuff. And we don't see that. So it's not really ingrained or trained in our mainstream culture to get to really know ourselves and ask ourselves questions and have a relationship with
it. It's not talked about, and it's not taught. And I don't know, Rita, I really hope that that's changing, because I think more and more people are aware of that. Even if we, you know, jump on Clubhouse, how many rooms do we see that are talking about law of attraction, manifestation, goal setting, knowing who you are, you know, self-love, self-care, things like that. Like, I feel like, okay, people are obviously more open to that now and looking at that, but wouldn't it be great if that was part of the curriculum in regular school? You know, if it was like partly understanding habits, behaviors, your patterns, the triggers, things like that, looking at yourself, like how quickly and how, I don't know, how much, what would our world be like? Would there be far more compassion, far more collaboration, you know?
Well, Clubhouse isn't necessarily mainstream though. Like, you know, really, truly, like, you know, most of the people I know are not on Clubhouse, right? It's mainly
That's true.
And a certain niche of entrepreneurs, mainly on Clubhouse. You know, even in Clubhouse heyday, when Clubhouse was like really, you know, had high active users, it was still not everybody on there. And now the numbers have decreased. But even yes, law of attraction has become mainstream due to mainstream media. The Secret, right, made it.
Yeah, true.
It was a mainstream movie that they released. And even when you do look at that, though, it still leaves out the most important ingredient or components, which is getting to know yourself. It isn't, everyone's just talking about manifest it, meaning like, oh, just visualize you doing it, or, you know, speaking it out loud, which is true. But I mean, the real power, the real foundation work is getting to know yourself so that you can align, you can really manifest into your true desires, because that's when you're going to actually get activated. And your energy, you're going to have more energy to put into that manifestation to actually make it happen. And most importantly, it's going to be the right manifestation, because sometimes you can manifest something that you think you want, but you don't want, you end up sabotaging or something goes bad. So the real magic really is to getting to know yourself. And The Secret doesn't talk about that. Mm-hmm. These law of attraction rooms, even on Clubhouse, don't talk about that. They just, you know, basically say the same things that we all know about how to manifest, you know, speak into it, write it out, visualize it, you know, stuff like that. So
that's a good point, because it's a really good point, because that's why I think many people, you know, kind of, there was people that loved The Secret and people that kind of bashed it. And people will bash sometimes law of attraction, things like that, because it's like affirmations don't really work. Well, the reason why affirmations don't work, if you subscribe to that belief, it's because, you know, you have to bring, your subconscious has to believe it, right? And so you can't just say, I'm a millionaire, if you've only made 70,000 a year, because your subconscious is going, no, you're not, BS, I'm calling you on that. And so what do you do? Exactly what you're saying. You have to get to know yourself, and like, okay, this comes back into, how can I get myself there? What do I need to do? Who do I need to be in order to become that millionaire? And why is that so important? And what's the meaning behind that for me? And that's the whole self-actualization. That's the whole understanding. Okay, yeah, who you are and why does that have importance to you? Because if you can't, the manifestation happens when the closer you can get your subconscious and your conscious mind into alignment and agreement with each other, that's when you start to get into the flow. That comes from exactly what you're saying. You have mm-hmm. to get to know yourself, and you have to, if you want to become that person, you have to step into that way of being. It's be, do, have, not have, do, be.
Mm-hmm. Or have, absolutely. Be. Absolutely. And you're right about that. So I've studied the whole psychological process around affirmation. So I have two streams of thought on it. So from a scientific psychological stance, you're absolutely right. Number one, and I've said it before to people and in previous podcasts, that if you don't believe it, and you're saying the affirmation, if we look at muscle testing and you know, just by sheer our physiology around, this has already been proven, when we lie and our body gets weaker. So we can prove that through muscle testing, through the arm test, having a friend like test your normal strength of your arm, and having a friend push down your arm and they can barely budge it. Your arm's really strong. But when you say your name is something else, saying, oh, my name's Sally, meanwhile, your name is Sarah, and then you put your arm out, your arm is going to just be weaker. You're not going to be able to resist your partner's strength. So that goes back to affirmations. Well, if we say something, we don't believe it. But the thing is, if you have to do affirmations the right way, if you consciously don't believe it, there is a way to hijack that, which is self hypnosis. So you have to actually say the affirmation like really, like on a repetitive cycle, over and over and over again, to the point where you reach like a trance state or hypnotic state where you can hijack your conscious mind and kind of hypnotize yourself. But, you know, you got to do it properly in order, because when you say something over and over and over again, it's no longer going to, like, you're not going to use your, I believe your right brain as much. Your right brain is responsible for reasoning, and it's going to move over to your left brain, which is more emotional. And so it's going to just shift. It's going to shift gears into, like, so you're just going to keep saying it over and over again. So you're not going to be able to have that resistance to it, because you're not going to use your reasoning mind as much. So that's one way to kind of ensure that you don't hurt yourself. If you do, if you say something you don't believe, you have to ensure that you're doing it the right way. Basically doing self-hypnosis, like a full-on, like, to tap into that. Number two, if you just want to make sure you don't have to, like, oh, am I doing it right by saying it enough times to reach that hypnotic state to get it transferred over to your left brain to hijack it, you can simply say something that you believe to kind of work towards your achievement. So what I like to say, you know, as I typically do it when I'm doing my facial masks in the morning, because I kill two birds, one stone, I'm doing my skincare. And I'm also doing my affirmations, is what I did to be safe. I just say every day in every way, I'm getting better. Something that I believe and something that's true, you know, we're always progressing. So that's one way I kind of make sure that the affirmation is working, and it's just a very easy statement that I know I believe.
Yeah, because you're making it more digestible for your subconscious to go, oh yeah, okay, I can buy into that. Like if you say, I'm in the process of building a $1 million business, or I'm in the process of, you know, you could even use certain words that maybe soften it a bit, that your mind can go, okay, I can buy into that. But yeah, I love that, you know, I'm getting better and better, because it is, it's a way of telling yourself, okay, this is what the path I'm on, or whatever it may be. I have a mantra that I say that it helps keep me focused on the positive. Cause I'll say things like, I'm a woman, or I'm the kind of woman that gets everything she wants. And that can go both ways. Like I have to go, oh man. Okay. So what am I really focused on? Right. But I did that because I thought, wow, that's really going to make sure that I stay focused on, you know, the things that I want to bring into my life and don't buy into some of this other crap out there that I don't want. Right. And so, I kind of looked at it, I'm like, do I really want to say that? I was saying it one morning when I was journeying. I'm like, I really don't know about this one, I will say it really does help me to stay focused on, you know, being in gratitude, which is a huge thing too, to manifesting is being in gratitude. And the other part of, I think kind of goes along with affirmations, more about manifesting, is that to help your mind buy into something. And you mentioned this just briefly, is that if it resonates with you. So like, how do you make it believable? Because like the hypnosis works because you're getting it, like you said, you're hijacking it, and you're getting it, moving it from one brain to the other. And the more you say that, which is why we have to say 21 days to start forging a new path. You want to stick with it longer than that, obviously. But if you can make it believable, and I give an example that I could share this example. I've shared it before, that I remember wanting a specific car, and I wanted the certain color, and I kept being told they don't make that color combination, you know, not here. You can get that on the East Coast sometimes, but we haven't ever seen it out here. And I'm like, they don't know the power of my mind. And I, you know, I'm thinking I wanted that, but you know, a lot of times you hear, okay, just surround yourself with that new car smell or the smell of the leather or whatever it was. And that just was not doing it for me. Like I didn't care about that. I couldn't get it deeper into my mind to believe that I could actually have that color combination of what I wanted, even though I somewhat saw it. So for me, it was like, how can I make this believable? And I could see myself going, oh my gosh, I have to get down here. And I'm kind of in a hurry, but I wanted to grab a water, but I forgot my water. And so when I've got, you know, my purse like kind of hanging off my arm, I've got paperwork in my hand and I've got the drink in the other hand, but oh my gosh, I forgot my keys that are in my pocket. I have to get my keys, or, you know, how come it's not opening as I'm brushing up against the door, whatever, right? So in a sense, I could just see myself kind of spilling my water when I went to get in the car. Because that was so me, that would like, I could, but my mind could buy into that, but to just get in and go, oh my God, it smells so good. Now, I'm not saying you want to recreate that kind of scenario, but it helped me to buy into that kind of idea in my mind. And it worked. I mean, sure enough, that we went out, I remember going out with the salesman, because we just got a new shipment of cars in and we walked out onto the lot. He goes, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, well, of course I'm going to believe it. Like, it's so ingrained in here now because I've been working on this sucker, but you know, it was exactly what I wanted. And, but I had to make it believable to get my subconscious mind to really say, oh, okay, I could get on board with this, you know? And it's like you're saying, to kind of look in the mirror and say, every day in every way, I'm getting better and better, or something like that, that you were saying, right? And it's because now your subconscious can go, yeah, I can accept that. Like, I can truly buy into that. Okay. And you're bringing the right closer into alignment.
Yeah. And because I'm doing it in the morning, so I don't necessarily, I'm like, I don't have to worry about, oh my God, I got to do this like at least 100 times in order to like get into that hypnosis. If I'm going to say something that maybe I don't, maybe I'm not consciously believing or whatever, you know, it's just an easy, effective way to just do an affirmation. Where I don't have to maybe invest so much time, especially if it's a busy day or morning, and I can do it while I'm doing my facial mask. So, you know, saying it at least, you know, 10 times, and, you know, not have to necessarily say it as much to be in a hypnotic state. You know, if I do, you know, I don't have to worry about that. It's something that I already believe. So it's just a little bit, I would say, more safer, you know, not have to, okay, do it the right way. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe it already. So it's something that, and it's a golden rule. I mean, whenever you want to achieve more success in life, we do have to get better at our craft, whatever that, you know, better at communication skills, better at managing people, developing better interpersonal relationships, you know, better at, you know, mastering our emotions, getting, you know, we're always getting to know ourselves. I mean, because we're always growing every day. So we're always going to have to learn. We're always going to learn something new about ourselves. You know, and even stuff about our childhood. Sometimes I'm always like, because we don't have, well, not everybody has like perfect, impeccable memory to remember every little thing, every little day that we experienced in our lives. Right. So something's always going to come up. So, it's just progress. Like, that's just, life is progress. And if you're not progressing, you're stagnating. So, you know, yeah, that is truly, truly the key. And I think it's not talked about often enough, ways to get to know yourself, and being cognizant of it. And if you look at all the masters, like, they know themselves, you know? And that is why they're so great at dealing and managing people and motivating and inspiring people to basically build and manage their empires. Like Richard Branson, I have heard that, you know, he is really, really great at inspiring and empowering his employees. And that's why, you know, that they're happy to work for him. And they're, as a result, you know, you're going to work harder. You're going to, you know, you're not going to want to leave the company, and you're going to, and I can speak from experience too. Like when I've worked for employers that were, you know, the CEO was awesome. He really, you know, appreciated his workers, appreciated the hard work they'd put in, and really noticed, you know, your gifts, like they really, like really looking at his employees, like, as opposed to just like seeing them as like, I don't know, little robots, like that person does that, that person's just the HR person or whatever, that's the HR, you know, not really seeing them as an actual person and seeing what their actual like what they're really bringing to the company as a person, like, oh, that, you know, Sarah is really great. You know, talking to employers, she has these really great ideas for HR programs. And she stays after, you know, like really, truly seeing and appreciating and having real relationships as opposed to getting caught up in power dynamics and, you know, getting caught up in control. And, you know, employees are not going to trust you. And they're going to, if they're not happy, they're going to be looking for another employer and you're going to have to hire someone again. And it's going to cost money. It's not, you know, it's just not, it's how could you possibly build a huge empire when the people that are running the ship are jumping ship? You're constantly having.
Yeah, because the most valuable commodity are your people. And when you don't value your people, when you don't value your employees, or even if you have independent contractors, you know, many of us as entrepreneurs do, when you don't value those individuals and when you don't allow their strengths to shine or recognize those strengths and appreciate what, like you said, what they bring to the table other than just like their normal work day flow, and you can help that, you can pull that out. Great leaders pull out the best of individuals by recognizing their talents and letting those, helping them to let those talents shine in whatever areas it may be. And they also acknowledge their own weaknesses, like when they're wrong on something, or if they've, you know, if they realize that they are maybe inept in a certain area. Great leaders are the ones that can build a great company because they're willing to be authentic, honest, show up and share, you know, what maybe they are lacking in, and able to being able to delegate that. And that's actually a great sign of great leadership, is being able to delegate to other people that can handle some things far better than perhaps you as the leader can. And, you know, that's, you're right. That's, I mean, one of the fastest ways to completely shut down a company is to not to value your people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have like a lot of, you know, experiences in the corporate world where I've worked with, you know, one particular great CEO. You know, he was amazing in that respect. And because he worked on himself, you know, he did the personal development work. He cultivated skill sets in a lot of different areas of professional life and in personal life. He was a great person. Like he, you know, he did the work. And so therefore it reflects in how he treats others, and other people loved working there, and, you know, including myself. And, you know, and because as a result of his relationship with himself. And so that's when you're able to have great relationships with other people. So again, we're just speaking more and more to the benefits of the power of getting to know yourself and cultivating that relationship with yourself. Because really, if you're not truly getting to know yourself or listening to yourself, it's like talking to your friend on the phone. Like a friend calls you up and, you know, sometimes, you know, by being a good friend, we're supposed to be, you know, being a good listener. And it's like not listening to your friend. How's your friend going to feel? Right. So same thing with yourself. It's like you're not even calling yourself. You're not even like listening to yourself. Right. So you're just completely abandoning yourself, really. And therefore you're not going to see the signals, activate yourself fully, and align and thrive, right? So it's why I'm so passionate about talking about it, because it's truly a fundamental, you know, muscle to build. So
that's a great way to look at it. It is. It's a fundamental muscle to build. You're absolutely right on that. And it is so key to honestly, it's like the foundation, right, for everything that we do in life.
It is. It truly is. And, you know, and it's been a journey. It's a journey to kind of get there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's a great conversation today. And we, like, I think this is the longest podcast session that I've had, but because you know so much about personal development and so do I. So we're just like, I had this like big conversation.
I know. We could talk about this for a long time. I know.
Which is great. So And if anyone wants to know more about you, Kim, where can they go?
They can go to my website at kimkelleythompson.com or reach out to me on Facebook or on Instagram, saying Kim Kelly Thompson.
Okay, great. And do you have anything going on? I know you sometimes you have online events coming up for entrepreneurs to learn more about.
You're right. I always have stuff coming up for entrepreneurs because I do a lot to obviously help entrepreneurs step into that and start building their businesses. I do have a free goal setting guide. It's goal setting goals that actually works. You know, as we talked about, I had a personal development franchise. I learned from some great mentors, and there are some things that are really important when you are starting to set goals and intentions in your life. So I do have that. They can just reach out to me at Instagram or on Facebook for that. I also do have a 4-day challenge that's coming up. I do with two other coaches, which is kind of fun because it's nice to get different perspectives on things, especially like, you know, oftentimes we can hear something 10 times before we finally go, oh, I get it now. So I have two other coaches that I'm doing a challenge with, and that challenge is actually called Uncover and Step into Your Life Purpose Challenge. It's a 4-day challenge. It's coming up on January 18th. And I probably, if I don't have it up now, it'll be up. My assistants helped me put it up later today. It'll be on my Instagram as well, on the link tree there, and also in the Facebook. It'll be up there as well. So yeah, but all of that can be found in my website.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. I highly encourage everyone to check out, is it kimkelleythompson.com?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can, and plus for the audio, all your audio listeners, the link will be posted on the podcast description. So you can copy and paste it and plug it into your browser as well. And thanks so much, Kim, for being on the show today. It was an amazing discussion, and it was a very, very fruitful and meaty discussion. It was, we talked about a lot, and we dived deep, which is great. And, you know, and I hope everybody got value from this and, you know, subscribe to the podcast, you know, for ongoing podcast episodes around self-love and other personal development topics. So have a powerful day, guys, spreading love, light, and joy.
Thanks, Rita. Loved it.